today on Real Radio.
Wherever I go, I'm to be a distributor of the kingdom of heaven. That doesn't mean there's sparkle dust and pixie dust that falls off of me. And it means that I've got the opportunity to give the word of life as I walk and live. And when you minister and love and care on people, you are spreading the kingdom.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called As the Saints Go Marching In, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. You know, Isaiah prophesied from 739 BC to 681 BC to a nation that had turned a deaf ear to the Lord. So through Isaiah, God has to warn Israel of coming judgment in the hope that his chosen people would return to him. The book of Isaiah also provides us with a full scope into the life of Jesus Christ, his virgin birth, his sacrificial death, and his glorious return. In Isaiah chapter 31, we saw how our future belongs to God. But how does God keep time? We know that God is eternal, but he governs time with Israel as his timepiece. When the Lord returns, he will rule from Jerusalem, and nothing will prevent his plan from coming to pass. That's why Jerusalem is such an offense to Satan. God's going to come down with his strong hand and take possession of the Holy Land. Now, in Isaiah chapter 32, we'll take another look into the second coming of Jesus Christ and his 1,000-year reign here on earth. So today on day two of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that God's kingdom is within the true believer, even now. Wherever we go to share the gospel, we have the opportunity to share kingdom life with people. God's kingdom is eternal, and we will live the kingdom life forever with him. And now, continuing his lesson called As the Saints Go Marching In, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
There's a lot of stuff that goes on in our lives that we don't get it until Jesus tells us. Well, I don't understand that. And then you ask the Lord and God show me and God speak to me. And sometimes God will either say to you, here's the understanding of that issue. And sometimes he says, you're not going to understand the issue. I understand it. Trust me. Either way, it's good. And immediately his ears were open, and immediately the impediment of his speech over his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. Boom! Then Jesus commanded that they should tell no one. But the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. That's a sweet disobedience to some degree here, I guess. Don't tell anybody, Jesus says, and they're going around blabbing it more. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. What happened? What's going on here, you guys? The kingdom had arrived. As the saints go marching in this case, as Christ goes marching in to Tyre and Sidon and the regions of the Decapolis and Galilee, what's happening here? It's not some freak show. It's not some magician doing something. What's happening here? The kingdom has arrived in Christ. Wherever he goes, there's the kingdom. See, we look back 2,000 years, but we're reading a prophecy that speaks of the future when Christ returns. Here, you and I are in the middle of this tonight. The kingdom was prophesied back then. Jesus shows up 2,000 years ago and brings the kingdom wherever he went. He opened the eyes of the blind. He raised the dead. He caused people to speak. The kingdom was among them. They knew what Isaiah had said. They had Isaiah in their library for 743 years before Jesus was born. And then he shows up doing the work of the kingdom. And you and I are here right now on this end of the 21st century, and we're waiting, in a sense, for the kingdom to come. But is there more to it than that? The kingdom of God is a given among his people. See, what do you mean by that? You and I live and act right now under the realm of the kingdom. Our monarch is Jesus. We live under a monarchy, you and I do, if you're a believer tonight. We're already in the kingdom. Are we not in the kingdom? Yes. Listen, theologians, are we not in the kingdom? Yes. Is he not our king? Yes. then how do we unpack this? Well, I don't think we do unpack it. I think we leave it quite frankly well alone. Wherever he is, there's the kingdom. And we are subjects of his kingdom. All of our lives and all of our issues belong to him. He is our king. We are subjects of his realm. And not only that, but we have been commissioned to proclaim his kingdom. Listen, but the truth is the fullness of his kingdom has not yet been fully realized. It is yet still forthcoming because you and I are longing and looking and waiting for his kingdom to arrive. Luke chapter 8, I'm going to give you a lot of verses tonight. Are you okay with that? Actually, I'm going to give you a lot of verses in the 30 minutes left. Luke 9:11 says, but when the multitudes knew it, they followed Jesus and he received them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God. That is the kingdom of God. Some of your Bibles say the kingdom of heaven. Don't worry about it. It's exactly the same meaning. And he healed those who had need of healing. Why? The kingdom had come because Christ was there. So the kingdom of God is a given among his people. Watch this. Here's some examples for you and I right now. This is for us. Luke 17:20. Now, when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered and said to them, the kingdom of God has not come with observation. That's an interesting statement because wouldn't you agree with me tonight that when the kingdom comes, Jesus will part the heavens and arrive on a white horse, ushering in his kingdom? The answer to that is yes. But Jesus is saying it doesn't come like that only, I would add. It doesn't come with observation. He's saying it comes in all kinds of ways. Well, what are we to understand? Well, let the Bible answer us. Nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. What does that mean? Do we join in with singing with John Lennon that we're just all like this? We're all in it? No. The kingdom of God in this world that you and I live in begins and is in here. This is where it starts. Inside here. Now, please listen, and may I do my job properly tonight. Every one of you listening tonight, you need to understand something. The kingdom begins for your benefit in you. Christ places by the Holy Spirit his kingdom rule and reign in you. His politics is not located or isolated to Zion or to Washington, D.C. or to the Kremlin. Those silly places are just geographical. They can't be in you. But when Christ is invited into your heart, the kingdom begins within you. That's why Jesus said it starts most preeminently with the greatest priority in you. Luke chapter 10, verse 9. Jesus told the disciples, heal the sick there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. I love this. As the saints go marching in, what does this mean? Wherever the disciples went and wherever you and I go as Christians and you share the gospel, it's amazing. Think of it. Watch. The kingdom of God is in me because I'm a believer. The Holy Spirit makes that true. Wherever I go, I'm to be a distributor of the kingdom of heaven. That doesn't mean there's sparkle dust and pixie dust that falls off of me. And it means that I've got the opportunity to give the word of life as I walk and live. And when you minister and love and care on people, you are spreading the kingdom. And that's what an amazing thing. What an amazing opportunity you and I have to do this. If we would just do it and do it more. Let me tell you, it's intoxicating. Yes. And Jesus said, when you go, you do that. And you let them know the kingdom of God is near you. Imagine the disciples would preach the gospel and they would announce, leaving as it were a stamp of almost fearful responsibility on the listeners. Know this, the kingdom of God has come near you. Wow, can you imagine if you just happen to listen and not make a decision and you watch this stuff and the disciples move on to the next town and you remain untouched, unchanged by the message What does that mean? The kingdom of God has come near you. That's all, just near you, not in you. But whatever city you enter, verse 10, Luke 10, and they do not receive you, go out into its streets and say, the very dust of your city which clings to us, we wipe off against you. They did that, you know that? Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near to you. They'd go like this. They'd go to the city limit, they'd turn around. We ought to do this more often. We ought to drive into Hollywood, right? Get a donut, drive off the city, go, assuming we give the gospel, go to the city limit because they've rejected it and just go like this. Right? Wow. See, man, that's kind of serious, man. Hey, that's pretty Bible-like. Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Now, after John was put into prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Jesus, look, he shows up and he says, the kingdom is here. It's now. It's right now. Change your mind. That's what the word repent means. Metanoia, meta, change your mind. Noia, change the way you think. Why? The kingdom has come. How do you know? Because Jesus manifested the kingdom, he preached the word, and to confirm the word, miracles were done. Matthew 3, verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Remarkable. Notice the kingdom and its dimension, its character. John 3, verse 5. You guys okay? Yes. Are you writing these down? Yes. Okay. John 3, verse 5. Jesus answered and said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. In other words, you've been born into this world. Good for you. This is all you get, is this world. But if you want to go into the world that's coming, then you need to be born of the Spirit. You need to be born again. Wow. Notice the kingdom and its effect. Romans 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not eat and drink, but righteousness, rightness will be the order of the day when Christ returns. But righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. You say, well, Jack, that's a Romans 14 verse. That's a contemporary verse. That's what we're supposed to be living now. Exactly. You just made my point. The kingdom is wherever Christ is. The kingdom is in the heart of every believer who believes. The kingdom and its conduct resides in you as a believer now, based on Romans 14, and the kingdom is coming. And by the way, when all time is done and eternity is all there is, when everything material is dissolved and eternity is the only thing that abides, that is also the kingdom of God forever. It's eternal. It's all about God and the kingdom of God. It's not here or there. But the question is it in you? Have you let him in? Notice the kingdom and its priorities. Luke 4, 42. Now when it was day, he, Jesus, departed and went to a deserted place, and the crowd sought him and came to him and tried to keep him from leaving them. Wow. But he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, because for this purpose I've been sent. Can you imagine? Listen, please, first thing I realize about that verse right there is how we mistake Jesus. We don't see him as we should. Listen, when Jesus showed up and brought with him the very persona of the kingdom, according to eyewitness accounts, people wouldn't let him leave. The Bible says little children ran to him. What does that make you think? Look, let me tell you something right now. Always be careful of people who little kids don't like them. You'll notice for confirmation, God has given you, number one, watch a little kid when the little kid is around a person, an adult person. A little kid, I know what it is, man. A little kid just like, that guy's a weirdo. I'm not getting on. There's something wrong there. Have you noticed that with little kids? And then God has given you, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, the truth shall be established. The next thing is, your dog won't even like the person. Kids and dogs don't like weirdos. Have you noticed that? It's amazing. So if your daughter's dating a young man, go get somebody's little kid and their dog. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And it's cheap. It's like free. Kids wanted to be near Jesus, and according to eyewitness accounts, when Jesus tried to leave a town, people tried to keep him from leaving. A lot of people, you know, it's like, it's time for you to go now. They wanted Jesus to stay. What a precious reality. The kingdom, note the kingdom and when we pray. You ever think about this regarding the kingdom? Remember, the kingdom's in us. Kingdom came 2,000 years ago. Isaiah prophesied about the kingdom 3,000 years ago. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 9, in this manner, therefore pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom, what? Come. Did you know when you pray, your desire is to have the Lord come back? If you can't pray that prayer, something's wrong in our private life if we don't want him to come back. We need to get right. Notice the kingdom. And when we preach, Luke 9:60, and Jesus said to them, Luke 9:60, let the dead bury the dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another man said also, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them, that is his family, farewell, who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. What does this mean? Priority one, kingdom of God. Why? Because it is the absolute reality. But notice this. Notice the fullness of the kingdom of God is something that's still forthcoming. Now we switch to this pattern of scripture. Matthew 8:11. I got some verses. Write them down. Matthew 8:11. And I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of God. When Christ returns in the millennium, he's talking about something in the future. The kingdom of God will be established and Abraham will be there. Abraham's not here right now. And yet you and I, listen, you and I, wherever you and I walk right now in this age of the church, these 2,000 years, wherever you and I go as believers, we are carrying the message and the power of the kingdom of God. Think of it. My prayer in my life is this, Lord, I know that's true. I know theologically if I answer that at Dallas Seminary or Liberty University, I'd get an A. But that ain't enough. I want to see that. I want to see that happen in my life. So God, I'm open anytime you're ready. You want to live your power through me, the kingdom power? Use me. Wouldn't you pass out if God used the guy standing next to you and not you? Wouldn't that upset you? I'd be so upset. I mean, in the Lord, I'd be upset. It'd all be holy, but I'd be upset. What'd you use him for? Why don't you use me? And I would never want God to say, well, he was willing. You weren't willing. Wow. Luke 23:39, then one of the criminals who were hanged or crucified blasphemed Jesus, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other, that is the other criminal, answered, rebuking him, said, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. When you come back, that's a dual meaning. When you enter into your kingdom and when you come back with your kingdom, will you remember me? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. 2 Peter 1:10. Therefore, brethren, Be even more diligent to make your calling and your election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's eternity. That's heaven. 1 Corinthians 15:24. Then comes the end, that is of the world, when he delivers the kingdom of God, the Father, to the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his footstool. That is at the end of the millennium, Christ offers up the kingdom. And his presence in this world and our association with this world is over forever. Thank God. Matthew 25:31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, this is the second coming, and all his holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. That's in Zion. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as or like a shepherd divides sheep from the goats, and he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Wow. Now back to Isaiah 32. Look at verses 5 through 8. As the saints go marching in, sin will not be tolerated in his government. Sin will not be tolerated in his government. Can you imagine how that's going to go over if you think about what's in the human heart? Can you imagine if my second point was, and flag burning will not be tolerated in his government? You see people foaming at the mouth right now over this. We're just talking about flags being burned. Can you imagine when Christ comes back in the millennial age? Because sin will not be removed from the mortals in the millennium. That's why the Bible says that we'll rule and reign with him with a rod of iron. Did you know righteousness will need to be enforced during the millennium? It's kind of sad, but true. Those mortals that live in, they're still sinners. And he's not going to tolerate it. Wow. You want justice? I want justice. Well, it's going to come. And it's not blind.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called As the Saints Go Marching In. Thanks for taking the time to join us today. And we can have peace even now when we choose to follow Jesus Christ and look forward to his second coming. As the Saints Go Marching In is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before the day he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, we have a special offer for you. It's called All About the Future Things. It's the DVD set. In this 8-part series, you'll clearly see why you can trust the Bible as the very Word of God and what it says about future things. Why do we want to know about the future? Well, there's this thing called eternity, and the Bible tells us in detail what that's going to be like. The Bible is the best-selling, most quoted, influential book in the history of mankind, and what you believe and why you believe it is essential to your future. So head on over to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, where All About the Future Things DVD set is now available for your gift of any amount. When giving your gift, be sure to specify All About the Future Things. That's at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.